Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Here's what it says. Very familiar. You'll know it for this season of the year. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name, can you say this next part if you can see it right there with me? And his name shall be called, come on, what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Say it again, come on. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, over the last so many Wednesday nights, really a number of them, and you can see if you received a handout. Who received a handout tonight? You got one? Come on, wave in the air because I care. Amen, right? You can see where we started. We started on September 11th, that Wednesday night that many of you and I know it to be a day of remembering loss when we were attacked. We took that night to begin our Names of God series, and you see that the first was the Lord is Peace, Jehovah Shalom. How that even when things are upside down, he provides peace. All the way down where we've spoken now over many. And tonight we're going to speak on two of the names you saw right there in Isaiah 9 and 6. Wonderful Counselor. You see it right there at the bottom. Wonderful Counselor. The Bible says in Judges 13 and 18 also it says, and the angel spoke, this is to Samson's parents, where that the angel was talking about what Samson would be and how he would flourish. They asked, Samson's father asked the name of the angel. And the angel went and said this, so we know it had to be Christ that was speaking. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? We're going to talk about that one just quickly tonight. Wonderful and then counselor. Everybody say wonderful. Come on, say wonderful. Look at somebody next to you and say, Thanksgiving was wonderful. Tell somebody, right? It was wonderful. I don't know what your favorite food would be, but I tell you, Pastor Gwinnie can just destroy. I mean, make it better than anybody. I know you might say you're better, but no, you're not. Amen. I got the mic, and I'm going to tell you. Mashed potatoes, she kills it all the time. Just the best. Wonderful mashed potatoes. But now, when you really think about it, that's a word that we use to describe things that are important to us or things that we like, things that we find wonderful. But really, our language is limited when it comes to describing the vastness and awesomeness of our God. But yet in Isaiah, and you need to know this because it's obviously referring to the birth of Christ. Avery speaking tonight about the baby that was necessary to be raised up to be a man, then what? To be a prophet and a priest and to die for our sin, a sacrifice, Jesus at 30 years of age, beginning his ministry, dying at 33, paying for your and my sin that we're guilty of. But Isaiah, here in chapter 9, 700 years in advance of the birth of Christ, is prophesying about Jesus. Saying what he would be, that his name, which names in the Word of God are only just descriptions of the characteristics and the character and the completeness of God. It's not like some other name where that God has some kind of name for that. No, it's basically saying Jehovah Rapha means our God is a healer, and that's the attribute of God. Here we're hearing how that Jesus, who will walk the planet, will represent on the earth a living and bodied, imbued of God here on earth, where it says that he's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, what was wonderful about Jesus? It's a word that we know. As I said, we use it for other things that are much less, but let's talk about the wonderful aspects of what happened through the life of our Jesus. Our God, of course, yes, he is wonderful because what he does, wonders. But Jesus, his birth, that's what we know at this time of the year. His birth was full of wonder. Mary wondered what the angel was saying and how that it could happen. The people wondered what the shepherds said when they came out from the hills and said they had seen angels that said that the Christ was being born. There was wonder that accompanied not only the shepherds, but the king was in wonder when he heard these men that had traveled from afar, we call the wise men, and what they had said about a star that they had been following for a long time that had led them to a new birth of a king. See, the very beginning of the life of Christ was surrounded with, everybody say wonder. He is what Isaiah said 700 years in advance, prophesying that there would be one that would come, and one aspect of his name or who he is, an attribute, would be that there would be wonder that would surround him. If you believe that, can you say amen tonight? Our Jesus is wonderful. Not only was there wonder at the birth, Wonder in the process of the wise men showing up and the shepherds running out of the hills saying that they had seen angels speaking and singing of how God had come to earth. But as well, there was wonder because it was God being manifest in flesh in the earth. That God was not just out there somewhere watching, but God had now come near to the earth so that what Adam had messed up, now Jesus was to restore, and where he would live and die and be resurrected. It was what? God's salvation and redemption plan, the gift that does keep on giving. Come on, can I get an amen? So that you and I could be restored to God where we would not be dead in our trespass. Come on, somebody. Can somebody give our wonderful God, our Jesus, come on, give him a praise. Amen. Look at somebody say, he's wonderful. Tell somebody, he's wonderful. See, he's wonderful in your life because he performs signs and wonders and miracles. He's wonderful in your life because he is a powerful teacher. And the word where we see in the New Testament as Jesus speaks. Jesus' death also was what? Full of wonder. The beginning, the middle, and the end, as we see it described in the Gospels, was full of wonder and awe. It began in a way that only God could create, and it finished in a way dynamic so that all would know that there was God's touch on his life. The death of Christ was full of wonder in that people experienced darkness. When he breathed his last and said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," or "It is finished, it is complete," there was darkness that shrouded the earth, that there was literally an earthquake that shook the earth. God shook the earth and darkened the sky. The Bible says as well that in the midst of that, in the Holy of Holies, a place that only chosen could go, that there was a thick veil that kept those on the outside from moving into the Holy of Holies. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? A heavy and a thick curtain that created the obvious separation of where God was in here, and then everything else was on the outside, and only one could go in and atone for the sin of the nation. How many of you with me? Hear what I'm talking about tonight, right? But when that death took place, not only in the birth and in the living, but in the death, there was wonder. He breathed his last. The sky was darkened. The earth shook. And then that very heavy and thick curtain that separated the Holy of Holies and the inner court was torn from the top to the bottom into representing that what was a separated relationship. Now, Jesus had made the way that you and I can go into the Holy of Holies before our God in the name of Christ and know that we have power and authority in that relationship. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen tonight? It's wonderful. This time of the year is amazing. His death also, I like the way I read this just the other day. I love the way that it said that his death was wonderful as it brings you and I life. Can you say that with me? His death is wonderful. Come on, say it with me. Help me, somebody. His death is wonderful because it brings us life. Look at somebody next to you and say, his death brought you life. Tell somebody, his death. Now, it only brings you life if you receive Christ as your personal Savior. You can sit on a Wednesday night and say, wonderful, when I ask you to, you can agree with what I'm saying. But unless you allow him to be the authority of your life, have rule and reign in your heart, mind, and your decision-making, then really you're just on the outside looking in. You still have a veil in your life that separates you and God. Not because God desires that, but because you're the one that hung up the curtain. You're the one that's created the barrier between you and God. See, tonight, sitting in the third or fourth row in church tonight does not get you to heaven. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen? You better know who Jesus is. Jesus said, "You serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." See, our God is wonderful to know that he not only knows our thoughts, but he knows the intention of our heart. And you can call him wonderful, but when you embrace him as Savior, that's when he's truly wonderful in your life. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen? His resurrection after that death as well was full of wonder. It was a marvelous victory over death and the grave, and all these things are wonderful. Here's what the Bible says. Let me give you a couple of scriptures related to this. Isaiah 25 and 1 says, "You have done wonderful things." Psalm 119, verse 27 says, "Lord, I meditate on your wonderful works." Psalm 107 and 15 says, "Lord, I give thanks to you for your goodness and your wonderful benefits." Job, the oldest book in your Bible. And they'd say, "Now, how's that, Pastor? I go to the front of my Bible and it says Genesis. No. It's not chronologically just set in that. The oldest book actually is the book of Job. That's the oldest book. It's just placed later down in your Bible when it was canonized. But yet, the oldest book, Job, going through so much, here's what Job said. Job said this in chapter 9, verse 10. Lord, you do great things, too marvelous to understand, and countless wonders. And Joshua, one of my favorite biblical characters, Joshua 3 and 5 said, Lord, you will do wonders among us. Can you just right now, just raise your hand and say, Lord, you're going to do wonders among us. Who believes that before this year can end, that you can see God do wonders in your family? God could do wonders in your finances. God can do wonders in your joy, where maybe there's depression and feeling overwhelmed, but God can set you free. Why? Because the God of Joshua is still the God of you and I, and he can not only bring you through Jericho's and through the Jordan River, but how many know he can do wonders among you and I? Come on, can I get an amen? Who believes, truly believes tonight that God can do the impossible? Come on, do you believe that tonight? See, our marvelous and our wonderful God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, wonderful God can do mighty works among you and I. What's also powerful when we talk about the names of our God is not only that he's wonderful, but also that he is a counselor. Look at somebody next to you and say, you do need a counselor. Tell somebody you need a counselor. Now, I know when I say that, some of you are like, yeah, you do need a counselor because you got problems, dude. No, that's not it. No, every one of us. Look, as I say it here often, every finger pointed out. Look, there are three of my palms pointed back at myself. We all need a counselor. It is good to receive outside help and assistance, but there's no one that can counsel you and direct you better than God, better than the Holy Spirit, better than Jesus by the way he lived and what he said. Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen? And if somehow we say something different, then we are full of pride. And the Bible says, hey, get ready for a fall. Because pride precedes a great fall. If somehow we are leaning on ourselves and not leaning on God, then get ready for a tumble. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? But yet the Bible declares, leaning not into our own understanding, but on our God, then he'll direct our path and make what's crooked straight. See, you and I need a counselor. And the word said, there will be one many years from now that will raise up, that the government will be against him, but yet he'll be a wonderful counselor, one that will provide direction. Jesus is just that, not only wonderful, but a wonderful counsel to you and I. The word counsel, if you have it, you want to write something down there, maybe on some of the things that I'm saying tonight, but one thing would be the word counsel. In the Hebrew, what it means, that will advise well. Let me tell you, Jesus will not lead you astray. Come on, can I get an amen? Now, how do I know that? Every time, look in your Bible, look in the gospel, every time Jesus showed up, by the time he left, everybody was better off. Come on. Yeah, read it. He shows up and there's things that are wrong. He shows up and things aren't right. It's from healing to people being restored to actually where a temple's full of religion and so many things taking advantage of people. But by the time he's flipped over tables and set things right, things are now where he said, you've made it a den of thieves, but I say it is a house of prayer. See, wherever Jesus showed up, by the time he left, people were better off because God is good all the time. Come on, somebody. And all the time what? God is good, right? Who believes that tonight? Amen? So Isaiah is declaring there he's a wonderful counselor, and that Hebrew word for counsel or counselor is advise well, consult, give counsel. Here's the one I like, guide. Look at somebody next to you and say, you need a guide. Tell somebody, you need a guide. I don't know if you've ever tried to do it on your own. I know nowadays we have devices that help us, but at the end of the day, we need guides in every aspect of our life. I heard the story of a couple of tourists that had went over to Africa, and they were making their way through the thick, dense grass of the Serengeti, and they had a leader, one that was out in front of them, a guide, and he had a machete. He was cutting his way through with the machete. Grass was so high and so thick, you know, one of the tourists said in the midst of following the guide, as the guide was taking the machete and cutting the way down so that they could somehow make their way through, he actually said this. He said, do we even know the way? And without even hesitation, just cutting down the grass, the guide looked back and said, I am the way. See, you and I at times are going to be wondering, are we heading in the right direction? Do we even know where we're going? But if you have Jesus as the lead of your life, then you're heading in the right direction. Even when it don't feel right, might not look right. How many know he is the way? Amen. Let me give you a scripture that reinforces that. John 14 and 6. Write it down. Write it down there on your handout. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father lest they come by me. Jesus is the way. If you believe that, can you say amen? Do you know what? That early believers themselves were called not followers of Jesus or disciples. They were called followers, hear this, of the way. When people saw Christians back right after the death of Christ and there was such a revival, they said, oh, you're one of those that follow the way. See, Jesus leads the way. He's a guide. Jesus leads us as we trust him, making a way for us where there seems to be no way. Matthew 4 and 19, he says, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. And choosing his disciples, he said, when you follow me, then you have your destiny revealed in your life, my destiny revealed in your life. Jesus will lead you and I straight into our destiny. See, God is our wonderful God, and he has his son, which is our what? Wonderful counselor. God, you are wonderful and you are a counselor. And here's where you and I on this Wednesday night, before we even get ready to baptize some folks, we have to be all the time, I think, assessing and saying, Father, forgive us for self-reliance. Anybody here been a little bit more self-reliant than you should be? You know, you don't ask God until maybe after you've already made the decision, after you've already, you know, done something, then you want help. And I've been very guilty of that myself. And it's times like this we talk about the names of God. If he's a wonderful counselor, then you and I don't need to be self-reliant. We need to be leaning on him, not leaning on self. Asking that God would help us so that we can be those that see him as our source and not just someone we speak to after we've made our own decisions. Too often I see people, and it's obvious, they want the blessings of God. But when it comes down to the blessings of God, they don't want God's way. You know, they want to find the right person, but they're not willing to put it under covenant relationship and marriage with God. They just want to kind of get out there and get going at things and then want God to bless it. Listen, you got to do it God's way. Come on, can I get an amen? You say, Pastor, this Wednesday night, you need to be nicer than that. I am being nice. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Amen. We want to do other things certain ways when God says, listen, just live my covenant word, and the blessings that I desire more than you even want them will roll in your life if you do it not your way with my blessing, but my way, and you can't help but be blessed. Did you hear that tonight? You missed it. It just flew right by half of y'all. We want the blessing, but not our way wanting the blessing, but doing it his way, and we can't help but be blessed. Amen. Come on, piano, if you would, Gary, as we finish up tonight. If we're about ready to baptize. We put a scripture along with what I'm saying. Somebody just got, you know, just like I'm working something out tonight. No, Colossians 2 and 3 says this, Jesus, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Doing it God's way, there'll be the treasures that can be hidden to some, but to us, wisdom and knowledge will be ours. Isaiah 28:9 says, Lord, you are wonderful. You are counsel and an excellent guide. Job again says, Lord, you alone, Job 12 and 13, you alone have counsel and understanding for me. Psalm 33:11, Lord, your counsel stands forever, and the plans of your heart are to me and to all generations. Psalm 73 and 24 says, you will guide me with your counsel and lead me to a glorious destiny. I don't know who needs to hear that tonight. Did you hear that? That you will guide me with your counsel and lead me to a glorious destiny. Let me just trust in the fact tonight that God will lead you and guide you with wonderful counsel, and it's to a glorious destiny. Come on, do you receive that, right? Come on, just receive that. Pull that down in Jesus' name. Isaiah 30 and 21, Lord, I believe I will hear a word. I love this. This is where he's directing. He said, Isaiah 30 and 21 said, Lord, I believe I will hear a word behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Man, we're not trying to. We've got Christmas trees, some Christmas trees up around the house. And so if you're putting up Christmas trees, how many know that means you got to move other furniture, other places? How many know that is a potential broken toe? Come on, can I get an amen from somebody, right? And I've already, we moved a couple of chairs into the master bedroom because of them needing to come out of certain rooms where trees have went. And this is something a little different this year. So I've already, before I turn the lights off and go to bed, there's one chair that's kind of awkwardly positioned, and I make sure to look at it before I get in bed, because I need to remember, because I have the propensity now to somehow about 3 or 4 in the morning need to get them to go to the restroom. Amen. I just do. And I'm just knowing I need to look, because I don't just find my way through. I need to remember that's there. See, Jesus will always be the light to shine so that the obstacles that are there or that you see or don't see, what does he say? I will hear someone behind me say, this is the way, walk in it. You're not all by yourself, he's with you. Amen, amen. Even unto death, Psalm 48 and 14 says, Lord, you are my God forever and ever. You will be my guide even to death. The beginning of our life, the middle of our life, the end of our life, we have a wonderful counselor that provides direction. If you believe that, can you say amen tonight? I want to pray with you before we baptize some folks. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for the season that, Lord, just that much more reminds us of how good that you are. Father, I thank you tonight that you are wonderful. We lean on you. Father, I thank you that you are a wonderful counselor tonight. You advise and you guide. Lord, I believe as we come out of this year, Lord, we need your guidance. More importantly, we move into next year, we still, more importantly, need your guidance. Father, we just receive you tonight as wonderful counselor in our life. If there's any area of our life, Lord, that is out of your will, or somehow we've made our own decision, we have, in pride, said, we'll do this, and then consult and ask God later, Lord, forgive us. Lord, not self-sufficient, not self-reliant, but sold out to you. Would you say that with me? Just pray with me tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you tonight. Let me not be someone just knows how to go to church. But let me be aware that you are a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a Prince of Peace, an everlasting Father, the source of everything good. Let me lean on you and not myself. Let me walk out of this year following you. And Lord, you're already in 2020. I trust you, Lord, for blessings. In Jesus' name, come on, church. And everybody said amen and amen. Let's baptize some people, all right? I know you're here to see that, so we're excited about that tonight. Let's go ahead and set the atmosphere back there, if you would, Chris. We can set those lights and make that happen. I don't know if we got everybody. I know we have about nine or so. Am I right about that? That's a good thing. How many excited about baptism, amen? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Let me say this because I need to. Listen, baptism is very... Baptism is very important. Very important. Why? And it's important from young to mature. Because Jesus did two things. He commanded it. How many know he told folks to be baptized? Wave your hand if you know that. How many know it's not a preacher thing? Jesus said to do it. He not only said that we should be baptized, but then he also was baptized. Did you hear that? He said do it, and then he did it. How many know if he said do it, and then he did it, we need to do it because he did. Come on, amen. So if you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. If maybe you were baptized when you were little and you don't remember anything about it and you've lived a whole lot of life and now you've come back to real faith in Christ, it could be a really good time to get baptized. Let me see. The water's warm. Amen. It's nice. But we'll have other opportunities for you to be baptized because Jesus said, do it, and then let me show you how it's going to be done. And right there is when he was sanctioned for ministry, when God spoke, the dove fell upon him, and God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So, all right, let's go ahead. You tell me who we got. Aaliyah. Come on, sweet Aaliyah. All the way out there's a couple of stairs. Sit down right there if you can. Aaliyah, how old are you? 5 years of age. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You love Jesus?
Yes.
All right, let's baptize Aaliyah. Go ahead, pinch your nose. And just hold your elbow, pinch it tight. Aaliyah, because your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Take a big breath. It's not good when you let go of that nose when you go under. Amen. I got a feeling Aaliyah's going to remember that one. Amen. Come on, let Aaliyah know you love her. You're proud of her. Amen. Ariana. All right, Ariana. Come on, sweetie. All the way out here, there's a little step right there. Just take one little step and sit down right there. Ariana, how old are you?
7 years
of age. And you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
All right, you ready to be baptized? Ariana, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, open your eyes. We do want you to be led by the Spirit, amen, but we do want you to open your eyes. So there you go. Okay, Triana. Okay, all the way out here. You see that little stair right there? Just step right down. You can even go one more down if you want to, just because you're a little taller. All right, now how old are you, sweetie?
9
years of age. And you know the Lord is your personal Savior?
Yes.
All right, you ready to be baptized? Triana, right? Triana, because you're a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, good stuff. See, we're going from short to taller to taller to taller, so we're going to end up getting this dude right here, amen, at the end. Aaron, right? Now, how old are you, Aaron?
10
years of age. And you know the Lord is your personal Savior?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to baptize you, okay? Go ahead and pinch your nose. Aaron, because you're a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, take a bath. Okay. Ashton? Yeah. Okay, Ashton. All the way up. How old are you, Ashton?
8
years of age. Wow, 8. I was thinking 10, man. Look at you. Ashton, do you know the Lord is your personal Savior?
Yes.
You love Jesus?
Yes.
All right, let's get baptized. Ashton, because you're a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job. Good job. Okay. All right, we got Amari. She just marching up them stairs. There you go, Amari. Amari, how old are you? 7 years of age, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Go ahead and bend your nose. Amari, because you're a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is Candace? Candace, you're 19, right? Am I right about that? Yeah, right there. One step, second step. Go ahead and be seated. So I know you know the Lord is your Savior.
Yes.
Anything you want to say tonight about the Lord?
I want to say thank you, God, for keeping me and being my friend.
That's awesome. Let's take your oath. Candace, because your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Arthur. I met Arthur about 2 weeks ago right down here in the altar, just talking about what God's doing in his life. And I said, man, you need to get baptized. He said, I've already signed up, so it's a good thing. I love it when a plan comes together. Two great minds think alike. Let me see. There's two steps right there, Arthur. Arthur, how old are you?
23.
That's what I thought. 23. A young man just getting God first and foremost in his life. And you know Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Anything you want to say tonight about the Lord?
He's making me change in ways I have not been comfortable with, but I have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So constant growth, constant change.
Preach, right? Amen, right? Isn't that awesome? Well, get ready, because I'm sure there's more change even come, but it's all for good. Amen. All right, Arthur, go ahead. Pinch your nose right there. Take your elbow. Got a hand. Arthur, because your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the change is taking place inside of you. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. we got this young man right here. Leon Berg. Come on, Leon. Come on out, Leon. I know you saved and love the Lord, but just what happened just to make, you know, this can go in the water, right? I'm sure, okay, just making sure. But tell us what got you in the pool tonight.
About 60 years ago, I sat in this spot before. I was about 5 years old, and I was being baptized. I didn't know the Lord at 5 years old the way I know him now. A lot of things have transpired over those 60 years. And over these last about a year and a half, he's been showing me things that I'm now understanding that I have to follow. And in that following has brought me to this place and many other things. I've recently retired and I'm going full-time ministry starting in January. And so, you know, I'm working on a lot of discipleship stuff with a lot of men. And so I want to lead by example. I want to lead by an example that Jesus led me to. And if I can duplicate that and share that with other men, then that's what I'm called to do. And I publicly want to identify myself with Jesus Christ. So that's what this is about today.
I'm sure he says tonight, son, I'm well pleased in you. That's what the Lord says.
Leon, because your obvious profession of faith, and the call of God on your life, and just new seasons in your life, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo!
Come on, can we give the Lord a mighty hand clap, everybody? Let's make that joyful noise of the Lord. Isn't that good to see? Can you stand to your feet, everybody, with me, if you would, as we just bless the Lord back tonight. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in your house. Lord, to see nine or so from tall to small, Lord, just say they want to follow in baptism. Lord, none of them were ill-equipped or unprepared. Even our youngest, the five-year-old, went through a class and was aware of what was going on. So, Father, I thank you for Mark and their leadership and Gene and all that prepare the students, but also for those that are older and more mature, just knowing that, hey, they've been out and lived life a bit, but something about professing and proclaiming and following in baptism. So, Father, let this be a new beginning for every one of those lives. So, Father, we just trust you and thank you. You are a good, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. We declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Let me bless you tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you.